is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. Today, we are talking with a singer-songwriter who I'm sure you know his voice. I'm sure you know his music. One of the biggest songs to come out of the last 20 years was a song called Superman. We'd like to welcome the man who started Five for Fighting, the man who we know as John Ondrasik, who has a new project he's excited about. We're going to talk to John in this next segment. Welcome to the program, John.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. Good to see you again.
It's great to see you again. Now, I read where Five for Fighting are back together, or you're starting a new project as Five for Fighting?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This new song I have out is different than the typical Five for Fighting songs. It's somewhat of a protest song. So I've never been one who really likes to divide or be polarizing. In fact, I kind of disdain celebrities who do that. But in the tradition of the protest songs of the 60s, I felt I had to say something. So I put this out under John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, just to separate a little bit from the Five for Fighting songs that people know. So, but again, it's, you know, it's me, it's my music. And, you know, I am honored folks are reacting to it.
And for the benefit of people who are just meeting you for the first time in this realm of our broadcast, which reaches millions in 100 countries around the world, Five for Fighting is a penalty. It's the term used in a professional hockey game where if you get into a fight, and what fan doesn't want to fight in a hockey game? I don't know. You get 5 minutes in the penalty box. Now, I wanted to ask you, do you play hockey?
You know, I played a little bit out of college, and my claim to fame is in my first game, I scored a goal. But actually what happened is I got checked into the crease and somebody shot a puck off my helmet into the net. But I did get credit for the goal. But yeah, I'm a big hockey fan. And when my career started, the record company said male singer-songwriters are dead. We need a band name. And I just been to a hockey game and I spit out Five for Fighting. And they're like, we love it. And here we are 20 years later, Five for Fighting. Still fighting. Still fighting, Larry.
Still fighting. Still. Well, at least you didn't say it was an empty netter goal. So I'm glad.
Right.
But so you have the new project out. You recently did an American Songbook. You worked with a symphony orchestra.
I've been touring with the string quartet, playing with symphonies. It's wonderful at this stage of my career. To, you know, the days of the House of Blues were awesome. But now, you know, sitting in a theater, a very intimate setting, being able to talk about my songs, where they came from, and to play this new song in that kind of setting, I feel very blessed and grateful. And at this day and age, just to be able to play music after what we went through with the pandemic, I feel very blessed.
Mm-hmm. So the new song, the new single is called Blood on My Hands.
Yes.
And so obviously one takes from that this is a very painful song. The lyrics are obviously going to be very significant. And so tell me where you were when you wrote this and what was going through your head as you put the song together.
You know, I think like everybody, when we watched the initial images out of Afghanistan, we were traumatized. It kind of reminded me of 9/11, you know, when you saw people falling from planes and mothers handing their children over walls. But the song really didn't take shape till after we left the country. I got a call from a friend, a very special friend who does a lot of great work around the world. And she needed a contact. And she said to me, can you give me a number from somebody that I knew? And I said, sure, what's going on? She said, well, I'm organizing evacs of AMSITs from Afghanistan. And me being just kind of this, you know, full singer, I said, what's an AMSIT? And she said, American citizen. And there was silence on the phone. And I said, are you telling me you're risking your life and those that are helping you to go rescue our American citizens from Afghanistan when our government left them behind? And there was silence on the phone. And that night I wrote a few verses. And then the song really kind of finished when the president came out and gave his extraordinary success speech. You know, Larry, you've known me for a while. I know you're a great supporter of the troops. It's been my passion for my whole life. And when the president gave that speech, I was kind of stunned, but I was hopeful that our generals would come out and clarify, because I've always thought our generals were the adults in the room. But when General Milley and General Austin came out and kind of echoed the same extraordinary success narrative, I was not only insulted, I was scared, because to me, I'm like, that does not portend well for our future in the next conflicts. And so I wrote the song that night, and I had no intention of writing a protest song or putting one out, but it just happened. And then a day later, I recorded it and put it out. And the response has been overwhelming, to say the least.
And you're going to do that song for us?
I am.
That would be great. You just happen to have booked a hotel room that has a guitar in it.
It's amazing. It was sitting on the bed waiting for me. And as a piano player now playing guitar, you'll have to give me the benefit of the doubt. But here's Blood on My Hands. Got blood on my hands. Got blood on my hands. And I don't understand what's happening. There's blood on these hands. They're still Americans. Left her the Taliban. Now how's that happening? Winking, blinking, can't you look me in the eyes? Willie Millie, tell me, when did you decide this? We'll defend your sacred motto now means never mind. There's blood on my hands. Got blood on my hands. Flag of the Taliban. Over Afghanistan. General Austin, is there no honor in shame? Can you spell Bagram without the letters in blame? Did Uncle Joe stick a trip in your veins, veins, hands? I can't hear her scream. If she's not, she's not. She's not on TV. I can't hear him scream. If he's not, he's not. He's not on TV. To every Afghan ally that we left behind, every child who won't know freedom, faces covered and blind. As for this American promise, shit in the fire. Oh, hands. I got blood on my hands. Just one American. Asking what's happening.
John Ondrasik, who is our guest, Blood on My Hands, that's the name of the new single. Is that going to be part of an album? Are you going to continue in that vein of very politically driven anti-sentiments against the violence and the war and injustices?
I don't know. Again, the song just came, and I wrote it 2 weeks ago and put it out. If something moves me, I'll write about it. And you know, Larry, I really look at this song as more of a moral song than a political song. Certainly, I'm criticizing Milley and the Biden administration, but if Donald Trump were president, I'd write the same song, only the names would change. Because to me, it's a moral issue. No Man Left Behind matters. The American promise matters. Accountability matters. And the response I'm getting, particularly from our troops, really gives me strength in that they feel somebody is speaking their silence. And a lot of the issues in this song, people feel. And I'm just looking for accountability. If the administration had come out and said, look, we made some mistakes, we're trying to fix this, we're going to extend the deadline, we're going to get everybody out, I would not have written this song. But I think the theme I'm getting from our troops who are ashamed and angry is that there needs to be some accountability. There needs to be an effort to rescue the people that they worked with, that we promised to make them safe. So again, it's a mission for me to just keep this out front, get as many people out of Afghanistan as we can. I'm working with people on the ground as we speak to help do the evacs. And I tell you, you know, it's ironic and kind of sad that a singer, a guy who's an over-the-hill singer, is getting emails from people trying to get rescued, SIV holders, legal permanent residents, when our State Department is blocking that. So it's a surreal world, but who knows what's going to happen. But I do appreciate the response and those who are helping me get folks out.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that. You know, it is a bit risky as somebody with such a high profile platform to take a position or a perceived position at the risk of taking sides and alienating those on the other side who don't share your beliefs. So it's kind of, you know, it's good that you clarified that this isn't really about politics.
It's not. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, everything's political. And, I think we all know if Donald Trump were president and I've written the same song, there'd probably be some who are disdaining the song who'd be embracing the song. It'd be a lot easier for me, frankly. But I think the tribal nature of our country is dangerous. And this is a moral issue. And I think the response I've heard is from across the political aisle. We all know we messed up. We all know, feel the shame. And I think we want to walk away from that. But we have to admit our complicity first. Then we can take steps so it doesn't happen again and atone for it. And I hope, and you know, I talk about this in my shows and I play the show and I give context. And I said, just listen, it's not a political song. It's a moral song. And I hope that message resonates, because as a country, we have to come together and look at these big issues from moral lenses, not political lenses.
Right. And you mentioned a key word that I've used this a lot myself in the last few years, is accountability.
Yes.
That seems to be something that's missing from our country right now, is accountability. But
you know, I've been talking to Tulsi Gabbard a lot, talking about both sides of the aisle, right? So my kind of muse for this is her, a Democrat who ran for president, who I love a lot. And she's been giving me the feelings of the troops. And she's told me, look, you know, the troops are angry because in their situation, if, for example, if they're a trigger man on the ground and they make a mistake, they're held accountable, sometimes whether it's their fault or not. But when they see the leaders who everybody know has made critical strategic mistakes, there's no accountability. Nobody's been fired. Nobody's resigned. They are angry. It affects their honor. They have served with honor. They have protected their fellow soldier next to them. They have protected America for 20 years. They have given Afghan women a chance for freedom. They have served with honor. And when they see their leaders like Millie not serving with honor, that makes them angry. And also, I think they're ashamed that the folks that they served with, the Afghan allies, the SIV, the interpreters, the fact that they were left behind, there's a certain shame and anger there. So Tulsi has been really great, kind of giving me the pulse of our troops. And I think that's why so many are reacting to this song.
Mm-hmm. And you have been very, very supportive. You mentioned your love affair with the troops. You have participated in USO tours, and you've done a lot for military around the world. You've done a lot for charity. I was reading some of the organizations that you have partnered with and given money to, and it's very, very impressive. And so you're a great role model. I mean, you've done some wonderful things with, like I say, this fame that you have.
You know, the nice thing about having songs that have an emotional reaction is that you can use them to help folks who really have challenges. You know, when I wrote Superman, It's Not Easy to Be Me, I was young, maybe a little selfish, and I've learned in the last 20 years, it's actually pretty easy to be me. It's pretty easy to be us, right? I couldn't write that song now, but the fact the song can be used to help folks who really need it and maybe provide some solace, and it's a blessing. And to be able to write songs for our troops, Freedom Never Cries, Two Lights, and now this song also, that may not have been hits, but to have them embrace songs like All for One, have the Army singers sing my song All for One, that's been one of the highlights of my career. So I love our troops, and all of them are listening. Gary Sinise, I was talking to you, said to send his love. We love you guys. We know you're hurting right now, but, you know, he served with honor. America has your back. We love you. And we'll all get through this together.
And you mentioned Superman, which, of course, is a Grammy-nominated hit that reached number one on several different charts when it first came out. And I believe, what would that have been, 2004, 2000, right around that time?
Yeah, 2000. Yeah, Superman was 2000. Again, I caught the last wave of the record industry and had no idea that it would even be heard. And certainly with the Concert for New York, it became something nobody could imagine. But just coming off the 20th anniversary of 9/11, you know, playing Superman live the last few nights has been poignant for me. And it will always be around this time of the year.
Would you do it for us?
Of course. Here's the guitar version of Superman, which is always fun.
Right, right, right. John Androsik is our guest, if you're just tuning in.
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird, more than a plane, more than some pretty face beside a train. It's not easy to be me. Wish that I could cry, fall upon my knees, find a way to lie about a home I'll never see. It may sound absurd, don't be naive. Even heroes have the right to bleed. I may be disturbed, won't you conceive? Even heroes have the right to dream. It's not easy to be me. Above and away from me, now it's all right. You can all sleep sound tonight. I'm not crazy, or maybe, or anything. I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. Men were meant to ride with clouds between their knees. I'm only a man in a funny red sheet. Only a man looking for a dream. Only a man in a funny red sheet. It's not easy. Ooh, it's not easy to be me. Me.
Wow, that's fantastic. Sounds great every time I hear a John Androsik. And Superman, it's not easy. Of course, you can come out with a new one. It's still not easy if you were to do one 20 years later.
Yeah.
So we're happy to have you with us. And it was great that you decided to write that for yourself, because I know you've given away a bunch to Josh Groban, Tim McGraw, some other folks you've written songs for. So you kept one for yourself, which is awfully nice of you. Now, I read where you were crying when you first heard that on the radio, when you heard it actually played.
You know, I'm one of those 20-year overnight success stories, Larry. You know, I hit the wall for a long time. I didn't have success till my late 20s, which is pretty old for an aspiring musician. And yeah, when I heard that song on the radio for the first time, I was driving down the 405 freeway in L.A., not very fast, of course, stuck in traffic. And it just came on, and I just couldn't believe it. It was surreal, and I kind of teared up because all of the... you know, the work and rejection and struggling of the last 20 years kind of came out. And hey, the stars aligned for me. I was very, very fortunate. And I still kind of have to pinch myself when I hear my songs, you know, at Costco or wherever I am. Because, you know, all these years later, that the songs still are out there in that American Songbook is truly rewarding.
Mm-hmm. And well, since that time, you have written songs or performed songs in all kinds of films and TV shows and advertisements, and recently Code Black, the TV show. And so I read where you're actually, are you scoring a film?
Yeah, I've got a few projects going on, you know, some television projects we're developing. I've always loved musical theater, so I'm dabbling in that. I'm excited looking into these other art forms. You know, we're talking about doing a documentary on some of these folks that are rescuing our people from Afghanistan. I think that's a story that needs to be told. So it's fun to kind of have my finger in all different artistic pies. It kind of keeps things fresh. But this song, I think the new song, it may spur me to do a lot more songwriting and put more songs out, which I really haven't done in the last 5-6 years, but it's got my blood going again.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard, I imagine, as a songwriter, because of the nature of the process, to keep up with the news cycle, because you're singing about Afghanistan, but the news is trying to move on and in another direction from that terrible event. So it's kind of like, you know, you never be able to keep pace with the every day's headlines.
You're so right. And even, you know, I wrote this song and it came out like within, you know, within a week of our evacuation. But we were, you know, the news media was already onto the border or the vaccine. And that's just the nature of our world. And I think, you know, I think why it's important for us to keep Afghanistan at least in our back of our minds, because the reality is, it's going to get worse. And there's going to be events over the next year. I have this sinking feeling that this song, Blood in My Hands, may be more relevant a year from now than it is today. I hope that's not true. But as a songwriter, I think you're right. We're going to have to, especially if you're commenting on current events, you got to write it and put it out, because we're going to be moving on. And whether I do that or not, I'm not sure. But certainly the nature of the business since we started has changed. I do miss the album. I know nobody's putting out albums. I miss the album. Maybe I'll just make an album just for myself because I like albums. But yeah, who knows what the future may bring. But I love being creative and I love performing for people. And it's my passion and my life's work.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to go out on another tour, another USO tour, another tour in general for your music?
I'm sitting in Buffalo now. We're on the road. The first tour since the pandemic. We've had three shows. And it's just so wonderful to have an audience. I think it's such both the performers in the quartet and the audience. It's religious experience to get back together again. So we'll be in Albany and tomorrow and New York City in a few weeks. We'll be in DC Sunday, which will be very emotional playing this song in DC for a lot of folks there who are coming. So it's great to be on the road and singing again. And, you know, folks want to come to the tour, you know, fiveforfighting.com. It's all there.
And what about the holidays? I know you did a Christmas song, which was well-received a few years ago with Jim Brickman. What are your plans coming up for the holidays this year?
Yeah, I just kind of did a version with Jim for his new record, Christmas Where You Are. Again, it's another song for the troops being away on Christmas. So, we'll probably do some things around Christmas and do some Christmas songs. It's always a special time, and we're booking tours for next year. So, yeah, I'll be spending a lot of time in hotel rooms like this with my guitar and hopefully talking to you again.
And what's Christmas like in the Androsic house? Because I know, you know, not many people in this business can say they've been married, you know, over two decades to the same person. You've kept the marriage going forever. You've got, you know, wonderful children who I wonder if they're in the music world or getting in the music world. I don't know how old they are, but I mean, what is Christmas like at your house?
It's a little odd because the tradition we had, my son is a Christmas Eve baby. So when he was born, my wife wrapped him up in a little Christmas paper and we took a picture. And there's been a tradition every year to wrap up my son and now my daughter in Christmas paper under the tree. Now he's 21 and has a beard like ZZ Top. But he still gets under the tree, wraps himself up in paper, and we take a Christmas picture. And my daughter, who's a music student at NYU, she'll sing all the carols. So it's a little odd, but it's very loving. And they don't run down the stairs for Santa anymore. But hopefully in 10 years, we'll have some grandkids doing just that.
Well, there you go. How about an Andrasik Family Christmas album, you know, and give your wife the tambourine and.
Well, the daughter would certainly sing with me. The son, you know, maybe he'd play guitar and my wife would hide.
Well, I know you're going to do another song for us while we still have some time. And we're very, very fortunate. We're talking with John Andrasik, who gave us, you know, not one, but many hits over the years and multi-platinum songs and such a successful career. And now he's giving back to the troops and to everybody around the world who needs some healing right now. And there's a lot of places on the planet that need some healing. And so what you're doing is wonderful. We really appreciate you making time for us here on The Voice of America.
Well, there's nobody I'd rather be talking to. You have the ear of our troops, the best of us. You've been such a icon in this business. And
thank you.
Why don't we, you know, I think this song basically says, look, whatever's going on in the past is the past. What's coming will be coming. We have right now. Let's appreciate right now. And it's called 100 Years. I'm 15. For a moment, caught in between 10 and 20, and I'm just dreaming, counting the ways to where you are. I'm 22 for a moment, and she feels better than ever, and we're on fire, babe, making our way back from. You only got 100 years to live. I'm 33 for a moment. I'm still the man, but you see, I'm a they, a kid on the way, a family on my mind. I'm 45. For a moment, the sea is high. We're heading into a crisis, chasing the years of our lives. 15, there's still time for you. Time to buy, time to lose yourself within a morning star. Never a wish better than this, when you only got 100 years to live. Half time goes by, suddenly your eyes, another blinker of an eye. 67's gone, the sun is getting high. We're moving on, we're moving on. For a moment, I'm dying for just another moment, and I'm just dreaming, counting the ways where you are. 15, there's still time for you. 22, I feel you too. 33, you're on your way. It's never a wish better than this, when you only got 100 years to live. To live.
Wow, that's great. Woo, they're clapping around the world. John Andrasik is our guest here on The Voice of America on Border Crossings. What's been the highlight for you so far? I mean, you have quite an expanded career. You've done so much in so many places. What has been, what moment sticks out above the rest? If you had to write a book today and make it the chapter called The Highlight, what would it be?
Well, I don't know if it was a highlight, but certainly the concert for New York was the most important thing I did. Though I'll tell you, the response I'm getting from this song, a song that will never be played on the radio, is something like I've never received before. And because it's somewhat controversial. The calls I'm getting, the emails, it's pretty emotional and pretty humbling. So what I'm going through right now, I'm very grateful for the support of folks. And I'm grateful for folks like you who give me a platform, because a lot of people won't. So again, I'm just lucky to do what I do, man. You know, I love you military families, our troops. Sean Hannity says hi. Gary Sinise says hi. Tulsi Gabbard says hi. We all love you. And, you know, we look forward to seeing you in the years to come.
People want to find out more information. It's johnondrosic.com. That's just that simple.
It's fiveforfighting.com. Yeah, I'm at John Ondrosic on Twitter. If you want to hear Blood on My Hands, the lyric video, just go to YouTube, put in Blood on My Hands. And for folks that will share the song, it's a grassroots effort. It's the only way people will hear it, and that will hold the folks accountable and get as many of our allies out. So thank you, everybody, for spreading the word.
Well, thank you, John Ondrosic, for joining us. What a pleasure it is to have you on the show. And you're telling a story that needs to be told. And we really appreciate you joining us and all the great things that you've been doing around the world. Blood on My Hands is the name of the new single from John Ondrosic. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.